So we have gathered here. This is basically called Ishta Goshti. Goshti means sound. Ishta means the Lord, worshipful Lord of our heart. I didn't plan any lecture. If you have any questions on any topic related to Sambandha or Abhideya or Prayojana of Krishna consciousness, you can ask. When we were in Russia, we used to fast. And now we've come to Vrindavan. So someone said we don't have to fast. The Brijvasi Pandas have a phrase. Tapeshwari, Rajeshwari, Narakeshwari, Narakeshwari. This life, Tapeshwari. So much austerity. And when you use austerity, you get Tapabalam, then you get Tapafal. You get the fruit of your austerity. Next life you become, or this life, you're Tapeshwari. You're controlling all the austerities. Next life you become a big king, Rajeshwari. Then you enjoy woman and so many things. And then you engage in so many sins. Then you become a lord of hell, Narak. Tapeshwari, Rajeshwari, Narakeshwari. Narak. You become a lord of hell, a lord of austerities. So I was in the Russia, I did so many austerities. I was Tapeshwari. And by those austerities, I came to Vrindavan. Now I'm Rajeshwari. I'm Rajeshwari in Vrindavan. Now I just enjoy no more austerities. This is completely wrong. First of all, what are we doing? We are loving Krishna and we are loving Radharani. And in our expression of our love for Radha and Krishna, we are trying to please them. Everything we do in the name of devotion, which is love, everything we do in the name of love is for the pleasure of the beloved. We're doing it to please Radha and Krishna. Whether we're living in Russia or Greece or India, any activities we're doing in devotion are simply to give pleasure to Radha and Krishna. When we perform Ekadasi in Russia, we give one-time pleasure to Radha and Krishna. When we perform Ekadasi Brat in Vrindavan, we give 1,000 times the pleasure to Radha and Krishna. Because everything done in Vrindavan is 1,000 times increased, 1,000 times benefit. So by performing Ekadasi Brat in Vrindavan, you give thousands of times more pleasure to Radha and Krishna than if you do Ekadasi Brat in Russia. Second point. The gopis, the sadhana siddha gopis, they became perfect in their sadhana. They did Vaidhi sadhana, Raganuga sadhana, they came to bhava, avasta. Then they realized their sarup siddhi. Then they left this world and they took birth in Boma Vrindavan as gopis in Krishna's lila. Now these sadhakas, they were devotees like us, they became perfect. Now they're gopis. Krishna's there, Radha's there, the gopis. These sadhana siddha gopis, that can be you or I or anyone, we become perfect. They went to Radharani. They said, Radharani, we want to please Krishna. We want to know how we can bring pleasure to Krishna, how Krishna can become pleased with us, and we'll get an opportunity to serve him. What can we do to please Krishna, to get his favor? So then what did Radharani say to those sadhaka siddha gopis? She said, you should perform Ekadasi Brata. This is Radha, you said, someone said, I came to Vrindavan and someone said, Radharani is not pleased if we do Ekadasi Brata. That's the question, right? So I'm saying in Boma Vrindavan, when you have Sakshat Darshan of Radharani and you ask Radharani how to please Krishna, she will tell you, you should perform Ekadasi Vrata in Boma Vrindavan. That will please me and Krishna. This is what Radharani said. Where did she say it? Garga Samhita. Garga Muni is telling in Garga Samhita. Chant, 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 cant, cant, cant. We should always chant. Because I have no power. How do I get power? Well, you lift weights and then you'll get strength. We're chanting with offenses, but we have to start somewhere. We start that way, then we become strong and no more offenses. There's no other way. In Kali Yuga, there's no other way for perfection but chanting. We have to chant. Wake, asleep, in ignorance and passion and goodness, with offenses, without offenses, with sins or no sins, just chant the holy name. Somehow or other chant. And Krishna will do the rest. somehow or other, just chant and Krishna will do the rest. He will arrange everything. Question is how to overcome pratishtha. Don't take a leadership position. Always be an assistant to the leader. And that's the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The leader is Radharani. Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Das Das Anu Das. The only leader is Gopinath. Gopi, he's the Bhartu. So just think, a devotee always thinks, I'm a servant of the servant of the servant. The leader is my guru. The leader is my guru. I'm simply assisting. I am not preaching. My guru is preaching, but I'm assisting him in his preaching. I am not distributing books. My guru is distributing books. I'm assisting him. It's his energy. It's his action. It's his... I'm simply the instrument of his will. I am not the instrument, and I am not the wielder of the instrument. I am simply following his will. Pratishtha is due to ignorance. When one forgets Krishna, and one forgets his actual identity and his actual position, then he thinks, I am the doer. He thinks, I have done something. The ability comes from Krishna. The strength comes from Krishna. The memory comes from Krishna. The intelligence comes from Krishna. So it's Krishna's intelligence, Krishna's ability. Krishna's doing it. Something, if Krishna used me to do something glorious, whose glory is it? Mine or his? It's his. The pratishtha belongs to him. He did it. Krishna did it. Someone builds a house and he says, whose house is it? He says, oh, it's my house. I built it. Then the person says, oh, did you create the earth? The bricks in this house are made of earth and water. Did you create the earth? No. The mitti, the clay? No. Did you create the water which mixed with that earth? No. Did you create the fire in the kiln, in the brick kiln? Did you create the fire which heated those bricks? No. Then? Who's the creator? God's the creator. So, like Prabhupada said, the scientist discovers something with... He uses Krishna's intelligence, he uses Krishna's brain, Krishna's intelligence, and he discovers something, then he says, oh, it's my principle, it's my theory, I did it. But really the credit goes to Krishna. It's a very interesting comparison between desire to work very hard, you want to work very hard as a devotee to bring glories to Krishna, and a desire to work very hard as a devotee to bring glories to ourselves. When we want glories for ourselves, that's our pratishtha. But the desire to establish the pratishtha of Krishna, to increase and enhance the fame of Krishna or my guru, that's really bhakti. Working hard for them. If I get recognition or not, it's okay. But let him be recognized, let him be glorified. A devotee who's working for Krishna or serving Krishna with the desire for personal pratishtha, if he does something very glorious or wonderful for Krishna, but he doesn't get glorified, then he'll become despondent. He'll become unhappy and dejected. Oh, I did this big thing, but I didn't get any glorification. So that's one level. But another, because Krishna tests the devotee. When the devotee's working hard, he's always arranging things. Okay, you're going to work very hard and do some very big service. And I'm going to make sure that you don't get any recognition. And then you're going to think, wait a minute, I did this big, big service. I didn't get any recognition. Because Krishna wants to recognize you as a devotee. He wants to see that you genuinely have love and the awakening of bhakti in your heart. So this is a blessing of Krishna. Oh, look, I did this thing. Hey, forget it. No one's recognizing. So Krishna's trying to separate. Hey, don't be material. Don't be a devotee. Just be sad. Even Krishna's telling the gopis, you work so hard to please me, I can't repay you. You just be happy with working hard for me. I said, okay. They said, all right. What happens when Krishna uses you to accomplish something and he gives you credit? Then we have to see what happens. we have a phrase in English, it's not what happens to you that counts. It's how you respond to what happens to you. That's what counts. So two devotees get recognition. They both do something grand and they both get recognition. And one devotee responds to that recognition by jumping up and down. Oh, I'm number one, number one. I'm number one. You know, I be number one, number one. And he's, did you know I won? I got the prize. I'm number one. And he's really like flying on the wings of his ego. That's one response. Another devotee is recognized as number one for some accomplishment. And he responds in a different way. He immediately disappears somewhere. And he goes to some lonely place. And he starts crying his heart out to Krishna. Krishna, what are you doing? Are you trying to destroy my devotion? Are you trying to give me these things of this world to deviate me from your remembrance? You're trying to reward me somehow here? Are you testing me? Let me tell you something, Krishna. I don't want anything from this world. I only want the dust of your feet, life after life. When Madhavendra Puri was given a bartan of kheer from Gopinath, Pujari came in the middle of the night to the town underneath one tree where he was staying in the middle of town. He gave Madhavendra Puri this 1 liter, one mudka, one clay pot of kheer. Madhavendra Puri immediately took that kheer. He broke the pot, the clay pot in pieces, put in his bag. And he ran away from town. And he went 50 kilometers away. So the next day, the Pujari was telling everyone, the word became, oh, Madhavendra Puri, Madhavendra Puri, Madhavendra Puri. And everyone said, oh, where is he? I want to meet him. I want to see him. I want to get his blessings. And they couldn't find him. So he responded, Madhavendra Puri responded to recognition. He responded to recognition by running away somewhere. It reminds me when we go on Braj Yatra, some of us, we go visiting Nandagram, Barsana, you know, Yatra. And many of the pandas, the Brahmins at the different temples like Nandagram, they hear that there's somebody named Mahanidhi Swami. And he's something famous in this small little ISKCON, Vrindavan. So they want to catch him and get some big money from him. But they don't know what he looks like. So when we go on Yatra, we're going up the stairs and pandas saying, Mahanidhi Swami, Mahanidhi Swami. One guy, he looks at me, he says, Mahanidhi Swami? I said, no, he's down there. And I point towards some other brahmachari. So then he goes to him and says, oh, Mahanidhi Swami, give me some. So it's very good to avoid pratishta. Kamani kanak pratishta. These are undesirable. Kamani kanak pratishta. Kamani means woman or enjoyable object. Woman for man, man for woman. So yes, we'll take all kamani. We'll take 10,000 kamani offered to Krishna. We'll take 10 million rubles offered to Krishna. All kinds of pratishta. Yes, Jagadguru, Ekazarat, Mahamandaleshwara, Shastra Shiromani, Chaturvedi, okay, everything, okay, for Krishna. So kamani kanak pratishta for me, then narak. We go to hell. Kamani kanak pratishta for Krishna, then everything becomes glorious. Krishna's lila in Vrindavan, here and there, is called Nara Lila, which means it is very much human-like. But in our Siddhanta, our Tattva and Lila, Tattva-vichara, Rasa-vichara, there is something common, something different. So Krishna's Lila is Nara. There are aspects of Krishna's Lila which are common to, very similar to the material world and human leelas, but there are many aspects of Krishna's leela which are completely different and completely opposite what we have experienced in our human leelas or activities in this world. We see in our world that the mother represents the most intensity of parental love is expressed through the means of the mother. She carries a baby in her womb for 9 or 10 months. She feeds the baby with her breasts for 3 or 5 years. She's 24 hours a day with the baby, caring, feeding, protecting, chastising, educating, all these things. This is all these activities, these expressions of love, parental love, through all these multifarious services are all done by the mother. In this world, the children appear to be and they are more attached to the mother. And the same there in Krishna's Leela, Krishna and Balaram, they're more attached to their mothers and they spend more time with their mothers and have more interaction with their mothers than their fathers. And the acharyas say that of all the types of parental affection that can be found in the relationships of Bhagavan with his parents, Kaushalya and Dasharath with King Ramachandra and Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna and Krishna, and Yashoda and Nanda, the exemplars, the perfect expressions of the highest expression of parental love is found in Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. They are the perfectional form of God's mother and father. And of the two, Mother Yashoda has more intense affection and more intense attachment than Nanda Maharaj. But nevertheless, the affection that the coward men, the fathers have for their children in the spiritual world, is that's where there's something different. It's common that mothers and children are more closely related. But the difference is that fathers of this world cannot compare at all with the fathers in the spiritual world. The intensity of Vasudeva's love for his children or Nanda Maharaj's love for his children are inconceivable. They're the highest forms of love. But still, Yashoda is a little bit more. But Nanda Maharaj and all the coward men, they intensely love their children. Intensely love them. So that can't be compared to any fathers of this world. Most fathers could care less. This is only reflection. The real Nara, we say it's not like Krishna's having human-like pastimes. Krishna's having his pastimes. And ours are Nara Leela. We're imitating Krishna's pastimes. It's not that Krishna's imitating human pastimes. We say this is Krishna's Nara Leela. Nara Leela, Narahari, that Krishna's having human-like pastimes. No, we're having God-like pastimes. We as human beings, as Naras, as human beings, we are having God-like pastimes. We are having activities or whatever, not really pastimes, but we are having pastimes in imitation of that. That's the real Nara Leela, or the real human Leela is there. Man is made in the image of God. So we have children, he has children. We have mother's more intense love. The original is there. The original is Krishna. This is only a facsimile or a replica or an imitation. What is the definition of old? This discussion went on between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj. Hiranyakashipu said, "Prahlad, you're young. You're 5 years old. You should enjoy." So then Prahlad Maharaj said, "Father, you are old. I am also old, because old, what is the definition of old? Old means close to death." This is the meaning of old, because we say, "Oh, he's old man, he's about to die. He's 99 years old, oh, he's about to die. But this man, he's 25, he has long life." Then he gets on his motorcycle, vroom. Then truck comes, boing. So old means close to death. Sometimes people have black hair and they also die. Nice teeth, nice smile, and goli, boink, psht, hogya, haribol. The question is about what is an offense and what isn't an offense, as far as I can understand. Because you may do the same action may be done by one, and it can be an offense, and it can be done by another person and not be an offense. An activity becomes an offense depending on your attitude and your own bhav. Where are you operating from? What is the position of your consciousness and what is the position of your heart behind your activities? If your heart is filled with love, filled with care, filled with compassion for the other person, then whatever you may do in relation to that other person is loving, is caring, is compassionate. There's no question that anything you do may be offensive. Example: the mother's heart is filled with love, compassion, and care for her child. Sometimes she feeds him and sings to him. Sometimes she gives him a good slap. Tom, slaps, pulls his ear. "Hey, why you spit on your grandfather? What is this, spitting on your grandfather?" "No, but he has this funny beard, you know. I don't like some." So you get a good slap and you go to your room and no ice cream for you. So this, but that means the mother's an aparadi, mata aparad, the mata aparad offense, the mad mother offense. So if we are acting towards another devotee with vengeance or envy or false ego or the desire to control or to diminish or to insult or belittle, then that's offensive. Because our heart, there's something wrong with our heart. So whatever we express with that wrong heart, that will become offensive in the eyes of God and that devotee also.